One of the things that I was thinking about on my trip, and I hope that I'll make it clear throughout the morning messages, but one of the things that really, really, well, got to me was this question of what awaits us in heaven, you know? Really, really started to think about that. And it's funny how the things that are, like, especially for a preacher, you know, the things that you go through in your life, it's really, I don't know if funny is the right word, but it's really the only one I can think of right now, is how those things that you go through then begin to direct, right, what you're going to speak about or what you're going to study about. And so as I was back in Michigan, you know, I just began to think about, well, what awaits us into heaven? And besides, like, you know, from family situations that I might have or whatever, you know, the events of the world get me thinking about this, like all the things that are going on politically. And, you know, I was thinking a little bit about the hashtag movements, you know, the Me Too hashtag, and, you know, like the Me Too movement, that hashtag Me Too, you know, what that's about. Ladies, you know, celebrating something that was, not celebrating, but mourning over something that was, you know, taken from them, something lost. You know, it talks about the stealing of purity in some ways. And as I think about the things that are going on in the world, what awaits us into heaven, you know, we all are going through something. And I think about Linda, who's going through, you know, her cancer thing and the treatments and all that she's going through. And then I see Leona's here, and I think about Leona and the things that she has been going through. And then I mentioned Molly Pratt, you know, and then what she's been going through, and Katie Bond, what she is going through. And then I was thinking, you know, what about Betty and Augustine and what they have lost? And I think about Nancy Gingrich and her family and the losses that she has just recently went through. And then, of course, you know, this crazy nuclear type thing going on, you know, with North Korea and the threat of nuclear war, you know, for those maybe who aren't just solid in the Lord, that for many people, that's a real, real stressor in their life right now. You know, the idea about what's going to happen. And it points to me back to, you know, what awaits us in heaven, right? And there's so many of these, and so many other events have got me to thinking about it. And then there was my dad, you know, the idea on just a 14 and a half hour trip home from Manistee, Michigan, in that truck just by myself, you know, and I began to think really more deeply about my dad and that question, you know, what awaits us in heaven. Back in 2004, gathered around my grandfather's deathbed, I was able to pray the sinner prayer with my mom and my dad and my grandmother and my sister and my grandfather, and you know, my dad has said that he, you know, since believed in Jesus Christ. And but he's going through something right now. He sees that he's losing what he worked all of his life for and he holds so dear, you know. And you know, it's important to people, the things that... So he has this home in Upper Michigan that he's no longer to care for, really. There's no family around. The closest family members are my boys, and they're almost 300 miles away, and they're isolated. They're the friends, you know, the once vibrant group of friends that they hung out with, that actually, you know, asked them, you know, or drew them to that area from the Ann Arbor area. All of those group of friends now, there's only one left, one lady out of all these friends, one lady named Joy. And so there's really nobody there to help take care of them. And one of the things for my father that he is losing is the fact that he is no longer independent, really. That now he's, due to health reasons and 85 years of good life, you know, he's no longer able to care, be independent as he once was. And so it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's the things that you go through in life for me that kind of guide me towards what I'm going to say to you on Sunday morning. And so the question then I think we should all ask this morning as we write, as we worship the Lord this morning, what about heaven? What about heaven? I've been a baseball fan, you know, my whole life. And I used to just love, I used to follow all kinds of teams. And one of the teams that I followed, and they weren't really very good that day, or those days, were the San Francisco Giants. But they had this pitcher in the 1980s, Dave Dravecki, and he was one heck of a pitcher. He really was. And in 1988, the doctors discovered a tumor in his pitching arm. Now, if you know anything about pitchers, they can't have a tumor in their arm. And it kept getting worse and worse, and they had operation after operation, and they tried to save that arm. But in 1991, it was finally amputated, really, in order to save his life. Well, Dave Dravecki wrote a book, which I've read actually several times, and it's called When You Can't Come Back. And I got thinking about this illustration in thinking about, you know, my dad and Betty and Augustine and Nancy, and he writes about his sense of loss. And he says this, he says, I miss doing things with my own two hands. And of course, I really miss baseball. And he says there's this scene in the movie Field of Dreams where Shoeless Joe Jackson, one of the eight White Sox players banned from baseball for conspiring to lose the 1919 World Series, said this, getting thrown out of baseball was like having a part of me amputated. I'd wake up at night with the smell of the ballpark in my nose and the cool grass on my feet. Man, did I love that game. I'd have played it for food money. I'd have played it for nothing. And Dravecki says that scene had a powerful effect on me. He said, I missed those feelings too. The feel of stitched seams as you cradle a new ball in your hand, the smell of seasoned leather as you bring the glove up to your face, the sound of a bat cracking out a base hit. Dravecki said, I'd have played it for food money. I'd have played it for nothing. And as I think of Linda and Katie and of North Korea and U.S. relations, of Nancy and of Betty and Augustine, and as I think of my dad, I think I can at least catch a little glimpse of how painful it is to lose something or someone that we love so deeply. But unfortunately, in this broken world, our lives are touched by loss over and over again. You know, the things and the people that I named this morning are just a microcosm of what can happen in our lives, of just our, you know, our congregation every week. I believe, though, something very important here, and this is what I really want to communicate to you today, that God wants us to enjoy what we love. And not just here on earth, but you know what? More importantly, farther reaching, is he wants us to enjoy what we love in heaven, and not just for the little time that we have here, but for all of eternity when we achieve heaven. See, God created this world with this idea that you and I would never experience loss. But we know, we've read the Bible, and we know that, well, we just kind of had this independent streak in us, and we messed it all up. But God's desire for you and for me were never to experience loss, just to worship in the presence of God and enjoy the things that we love for all of eternity. But I want us to understand that to never experience these things, that is what awaits us in heaven. And I can get excited about that. As I go through the things, the losses that I experienced throughout my lifetime, I know that one day in heaven, what awaits me is this thing to enjoy everything I love and never to experience loss. And I don't know about you, but for me today, that's good news. And when I was taking that 14 and a half hour journey home, man, my mind began to focus on that very thing. What awaits us in heaven? And man, I'm excited about it. You know, as we ask that question, what awaits us to heaven? I think the answer to that question is, well, it's both easy and it's hard. Because there's really so many possibilities of what could happen. You know, certainly, I think we could probably sit here and agree without ever seeing it, you know, but we could agree that heaven is a place of beauty. I mean, songwriters for years and years and years have talked about how heaven is going to be this place full of praise, right? I think I preached a sermon here one time called Heaven is a Praising Place. And so we instinctively almost understand that heaven is going to be a place of praise. And we talk about seeing the face of Jesus or being in the presence of God. And we begin to understand that heaven is this going to be this place of comfort. I think we understand that heaven's going to be this place of rest and indeed a place of rejoicing. I mean, it's going to be joy-filled in heaven. Heaven is this really cool place, I think, where we, you and I, just ordinary people, some of us from northern New York and some of us from Ann Arbor and other parts unknown, but that we will be in the presence and meet all of the saints of the past. I mean, man, for me, you know, aside from meeting Jesus, I just can't wait to where I can talk to Paul. Do you know how many questions I have for the Apostle Paul? They're endless. And I hope when I get there, I can remember at least half of the ones, right? It's also a place where we'll be reconnected with our loved ones, with the ones who have gone before. Now I want you to think on this. Heaven is where we will worship with the angels. Heaven is the place where we're going to worship with the angels. Man, you know, as I was listening to this, I was thinking, oh man, this is like as close as we're going to get this side of heaven to worshiping with that great choir in heaven. What a wonderful worship time we had today, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't it just, it gave me chills. I had goosebumps as we were singing some of these songs and I was listening to the music and the words just kind of just flow together. It just touched my heart. But most of all, heaven is the place where we'll meet Jesus. Heaven is the place where we will gaze upon the beautiful face of Jesus. And man, I just know that that's going to be a great time. Do you guys remember that old spiritual that says this? What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that'll be. That's the way I look for it. I believe it with all my heart. If you believe that, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that'll be. If you believe that, if that's your testimony, just say amen this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, as a church, you know, our worship services, you know, or our church services, our worship service, you know, they focus on praise, right? Every week we praise the Lord and it focuses on singing and it does focus on prayer. And man, I'll tell you something, just like this morning, God does wonderful things in the midst of our prayer and in the midst of our praise. And one of the mysterious things about it is we don't always know what God is doing because God is speaking to each person individually as we corporately worship. And so when we say things, you know, like God does wonderful things in the midst of our prayers, the really mystical thing about it is that I might not know what God's doing in your life, but I know what He's doing in mine. And you know what He's doing in yours. And that's just the way God wants it. Now, one of the things that I have to do as a pastor, and this might surprise you guys, but I got to think. And you want to know what I think? I think heaven is going to be a place of singing. I think it's going to be a place of praise. And so, you know what? I just think we need to get ready to join that heavenly choir. You know, whether we have great voices like our praise team or whether we kind of sound like Kermit the Frog like me, it doesn't matter. We have an invitation to the heavenly choir. And man, I'm getting ready for that. Roger Campbell wrote this. He said, "'Twill be no sad day when Christ I meet. Each day I live, I wait and long to place my feet on heaven's street and hear the angels' choir songs.'" You know, I was thinking about over the past week or so, that we have no clue what the tempo of the tunes are going to be in heaven. We don't know what songs we're going to be singing up there, right? For sure. Nobody's ever really come back to tell us, and I can't really blame them, you know? But we have no clue of what the technology there in heaven will be like. I don't know, maybe they'll wear those fancy new inner ear monitors. You know, maybe we'll get those, or maybe we'll just use these wedge monitors like we have here. You know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, we'll have a mixer. Maybe God has this huge mixer in the sky. I don't know. Or power amps. Maybe they're just huge. Maybe they're not the little ones that, see, we kind of hide back there. But these, you know, those 300-amp power amps, maybe those are just affinity amp. Just to blot out the heavenly music of the kingdom. But even though there's all those things that we really don't know, we're going to get a message that is clear. It's in Psalm 96. And it says this, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary." See, loved ones, it is the story that really matters in glory. Heaven's song. I guess I better get to the point of this sermon. But Heaven's song is going to be about the Redeemer. Verse 9 says this, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and every tongue and people and nation." Now chapter 5 of the Revelation opens up with God's holding a sealed scroll in his hand. And now, the Apostle John, he wrote this, we know that, he wrote this book of the Bible, this last book of the Bible, and in his days, books, you know, were scribed. There was no printing press, you know, and there were no computers to pound them out on, and laser jet printers, you know, to copy them. So, scrolls were written by hand, you know, and they weren't binded, they were just scrolls that were rolled up, and do you know that some scrolls could be as long as 20 feet. Imagine a 20-foot long book you're reading. And when they were completed, these scrolls then were rolled up and they were sealed with hot wax. Now the scroll that God is holding in his hand is the complete story of what God has done and is doing and will do in the world. See, completed. And the seven seals communicate the importance of what's inside those scrolls. And the seals are placed throughout the scroll so that as each one is broken, more of God's plan for us can be revealed. And his plan is slowly and surely just weaving its way towards the close of history. But I want to just stop for a moment to just kind of make a small little point about end times or about eschatology. There's a lot of theologies out there. There is. You know, there's pre-millennialism and there's post-millennialism, and they focus on a lineal type path towards the end times and takes you know, place over 1,000 years. And there's, you know, a lot of different things on the end times. And then there's just the simple one that really makes a lot of sense to me, but it's just that when Jesus ascended into heaven, it entered in the end of days. And you know, for me, this is really easy and the best way to kind of look at it because, you know, no matter what we get into, right? No matter how we beat whatever theology, eschatology that we want to subscribe to, I'm not going to argue with you about it, but to get worked up about those things, right? Really doesn't make a lot of point because the Bible make a big point because Bible tells us that God is keeping all that stuff sealed up into himself anyway. So why do we really want to get all knotted up about that? You know, one of the important things of the book of Revelation isn't a roadmap to the end times, but it is a book that says, you know what? I am coming back, Jesus says. And so just be ready for me so I can receive you. That is really the importance of the end of times. Be ready. And what a day that'll be when your Jesus you shall see. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Now, Revelation 5 tells us a few things. It tells us how a mighty angel searches the heavens far and wide. And it searches, you know, the earth far and wide. And then this heaven searches, or this angel searches under the earth far and wide. And you know why this angel is doing that? Because he's looking for somebody worthy enough to open up the scroll. But we're told no one's found. There's nobody holy enough in all those places to open those scrolls. And as we follow this really fantastic account, it is revealed that really there is one, just one person, and that all is not lost, that there is hope. And the Bible tells us that this person is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This person is the root of Jesse. It is the Holy One. It is Jesus Christ. He's the one and the only one worthy of opening the scrolls. And why is that? Well, because Jesus lived a perfect life of obedience to his Father in heaven. See, wasn't that Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world? Am I right about that? Wasn't that Jesus who did that? And then wasn't it Jesus who rose from the dead to show his power and his authority over terror? His power and authority over evil? His power and authority even over death. Did not, am I right or am I wrong, that this Jesus brought death back to life? I mean, am I right about that, friends? So I want you to get this morning. Jesus of Nazareth conquered the shame of sin. I want you to repeat that with me. Jesus of Nazareth conquered the shame of sin. Jesus of Nazareth conquered the shame of sin. Amen. Amen. Don't ever forget that, loved ones. Only Jesus threw off the finality of death, guys. Only Jesus put out the fire of hell. Only Jesus sends the devil packing in your life. Only Jesus can do these things for you and for me. And I don't know where everybody's at right now this morning, but Jesus wants to do that for you and for me right now. Jesus can bring you and I back from death to live glorious life. There's just one little catch. We got to ask him. We got to want him. We got to need him desperately in our lives. And we got to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Now, like I said, I don't know what everybody's going through here today, but I want to just tell you something, friends. Don't leave here today without making Jesus Lord and Lion of your life. Don't do it. There's no reason not to. There's no reason to walk out these doors still wondering what Jesus could do. This morning, God is offering up a chance for you not only to have that question answered, but to experience what Jesus can do for you. Make Jesus Lord and Lion of your life. You know, there's that Newsboy song that goes, living on the inside, right? Jesus and roaring like a lion. Oh, what a day that when you accept Jesus, that the Lion of Judah, what he can do in your life. I was telling Paul Holt today that really I'm an introvert, but the Lion of Judah lives within me and I can be outgoing, out of my comfort zone because of the Lion of Judah who lives within me. You know, our song in heaven will be about Jesus, the Lion of Judah. And our song in heaven will also be about redemption. Now listen to this. Verse 9 also says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and every people and every tongue and every nation. Heaven's song will be about redemption. And man, that's an awesome promise that we have in Christ Jesus. And that's an awesome song that we're going to be singing when we're in heaven. And I kind of got this idea that we're never going to grow tired of singing about that old, old story of the cross, right? I don't think so. I think it'll be exciting for us every time. And hey, who knows? Maybe we'll be singing it in the King James Version up there. I don't know. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Maybe that's what we'll be singing it. Oh man, we'll never tire of singing that story of lost sinners saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, there's power in the blood. So I want to ask you this. And it's going to be up on the screen here. And you know what? You can read along or whatever, but it's, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blessed, precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Man, I should have had Ed come up here and sing that, you know, for me. I didn't think that far ahead. I told you occasionally, I think. Not all the time. But the song of heaven will be a glorious song. And it'll be a story about hurting sinners that are made whole again. Or, you know, hurting sinners made holy. A story of a life, loved ones, that's just plucked out of the jaws of death. A story about Jesus who, through the power of God, revealed in just one selfless act of righteousness, what a one selfless act of a righteous person could do in an unrighteous world. I mean, just think about it. We're singing songs and preaching about Jesus over 2,000 years later. The power of what one righteous person can do in an unrighteous world is amazing. You know, the song of heaven that we'll be singing has been and is being written by countless saints. Did you know that John the Baptist wrote the first verse of heaven's song when he said this, behold the Lamb of God which has taken away the sins of the world? Do you know that John the Baptist wrote that for you and I to be reading, enjoying, and singing today? See, heaven's song is going to be about the Redeemer. Heaven's song is also about redemption, and likewise, heaven's song will be about reigning with the Redeemer. And verse 10 says this, you've made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they reign on earth. Now, we all will reign on earth. Now, in this last little section, I hope you kind of stay with me because you know what? There's lots of good news going on here, see? And I, by looking at you, I can tell you need some good news this morning. So I'm going to give it to you right now, okay? The song of heaven promises us glory in heaven, but it also promises that we are part of a holy kingdom right here on earth. See, I want you to know that you don't have to wait to die to reign. For those who believe the Lord, you are kings and queens, and you're also a priest right now, right where you sit. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you're royalty. And then turn back and say, and you're a priest. You know, you might be thinking, or maybe, I don't know, I guess I'm just going to throw this out there, but you might be thinking something like this, Pastor, but I don't know if I believe you in that, because you don't know the tough week that I've had. You don't know the things that I've been through. You don't know the things that I've said and done just in this past week. Things are really hard, Pastor Bud. Things are really tough right now. You know, maybe you're thinking my spouse said some really bad things to me and pointed out all the things that were wrong with me. Or maybe someone close to us mocked our faith, and because of just some of these things, maybe you're saying, I just don't feel like a king or a queen or a priest this morning. Well, you know what? Like it or not, you are. You're royalty. The blood of Christ makes you that way. So don't buy into the lies of the world, see? See, I turned off CNN because it's telling me, you know, that everything that's bad about me, everything that's bad about what I believe in. So I turn off those programs, not just CNN, that's the one that just popped into my brain, but I began to believe what the Bible tells me over what some newscaster on TV tells me. You see, if you want truth about what's going on in the world, open up your Bible. If you want truth about what's going on in the world, open up the Sing to the Lord that's in front of you and start singing one of those songs, because I tell you what, a lot better theology than I write about is contained in those songs than what I give you. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Wonderful power in the blood. Life-transforming power in the blood. Ephesians 5:6 says this, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You stay the course. Let God sort out the people who are misleading you. Believe on the things that you know to be true. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Bible. You see, you have the awesome promise sung in heaven's song. Now, if you haven't really listened to me before, I want you to listen to me now. If you love Jesus Christ, you are one who will reign with Christ. Not just in heaven, and you will, but here on earth. Now, I'm just going to ask you, isn't that kind of good news this morning? You seemed a little hesitant about that. Did I yell it too loud or not loud enough? Did I? Okay. Well, let's try it again. Here. Isn't that good news this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Now, sure, you're a sinner. I know who you are. I know. I was waiting for that. Did you notice the pause? But you know what? We don't have to stay that way. We don't have to stay that way. You've been saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to what Ephesians 5:9-10 say. Now listen to this. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Live as children of the light. Man, you've been transformed, loved ones, by the transformative power of Jesus Christ. God's love has turned dead sinners into living kings and queens and priests. So I'm going to whisper this. So live like it. Live like it. God has and will provide everything that you need to live a life above sin. See what I'm saying? Above it. Temptations may come here, but the power of Christ elevates you to here. Live above the power of temptation. Stop denying today what Jesus Christ has done for you. You know, we all have a poor past, but we all have a fantastic future. See, we will reign with our conquering Christ in his coming kingdom. Now, as I guess it's time to move from here to there. And you know, if the praise team would come, I want us to sing a song here in a moment. And then I want to pray. But I'm excited about heaven. I don't know if you guys have kind of got that this morning, but I'm excited about heaven. You see, what a wonderful future that God has planned for you and for me. So if you're like me, if you're looking forward to heaven, then we ought to start practicing for heaven's glorious choir today. You see, we need to worship with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all of our strength. You see, we got to, starting right now, we got to praise God in spirit and truth, for Jesus Christ is worthy of all of our devotion. Heaven's song should fill our hearts with praise every day, so the question is, does it? Does it? Oh, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day, that'll be. Amen.